Seated as present, Patricio, Eberhardt, Paulos, Stephen, Suzanne, Frank, Dottie, Vicky, Nigel, and so far online, Yarp, and of course Bernie and myself, and Kim from IANA. Is there anyone else who else?
Daniel.
Thank you. And Catherine Reynolds.
Right,
and is there anyone else online other than Yarp? Is there anyone else on Adobe Connect? No? Excellent. Sorry, shout. Thank you. Yep, are you saying something?
I was saying that Adobe Connect is showing an empty room.
Yep, I just sent another email to the FOI with the remote details, so just wait a couple of seconds and it should be there.
Okay.
So we have those present, and we have an apology from Bill Semich. Is that an accurate record of who is attending and in the room? Thank you. We have really just two items of business today, and I think this is a very long session scheduled to run till 5 p.m., so I think we'll have a break at about 3:15 for about 15 minutes. We can now quickly go through the meeting report for the 2nd of June call, and then we'll move into the real business of the day, which is the terminology paper. And Bernie, do you want to step us through the meeting report from the 2nd of June?
Yes, sir. All right. This over here. All right. Have you got the meeting report up?
Christine?
Yeah, okay. So, present apologies, attendees, Yap, Martin, Becky, Keith, Stephen, Chris, Dejan, Renita, Eberhardt, Desiree, Paulos, Nigel, and Bill. ICANN staff was Bart, Kim, Elise, Christina, and Bernie. We had apologies from Cheryl, Patricio, Suzanne, and Catherine. We're talking about the June 2nd meeting. You're here today, yes. For those on the call, that was Catherine Reynolds from Canada.
All right. I think just aside from the frivolity, if there are any speakers in the room, can you please avail yourself of a microphone? Christina currently has it here, but for the record and for the online participants, it's really important that we catch what you're saying.
All right, on to the business at hand. The meeting report for the May 26th meeting was approved. Election of vice chair, since we don't confirm anything at just one meeting, we discussed the nomination of Becky Burr as vice chair, and there was no opposition. So Becky is our vice chair. FOI working group charter. The charter was amended to reflect the GAC participation as selected by the GAC. The work plan for the FOI, we had a few notes, noted the wording definition of consent in section, Nigel noted that the wording definition of consent section 322 may be incorrect or inappropriate given the mandate of the working group. After looking at it, I generally agreed with his comments, so we fixed that. Nigel requested that a new section be added, similar definition of consent section, to address the use of the term delegation. And we got into a bit of a discussion with YAP, the draft RCs, and if such things exist, et cetera, to end up with Nigel agreeing to distribute the paper via the working group list. I have reminded Nigel to get the microphone if you want to speak. It's right up there. And Nigel will tell us where we are with that.
Yeah, that's available on my machine back at the island. I haven't been back there for 3 weeks. I'm going to... you have to bellow into it. Yeah, it's back on my machine back at the island. Since the meeting, I've not been back. I'm back on Sunday, so early next week.
So Nigel is confirming that he'll be distributing that once he returns home and gets on his bigger machine. Bill Semich had found a stray local in IANA versus the law. No, I don't want you to show all my emails. And I corrected that in the updated version of the work plan. Finally, we were talking about present preparations for Singapore, talking about this meeting. And finally, there was a presentation from L regarding property rights of manager of CCTLDs, managers. Al presented, general discussion ensued, was agreed this topic is out of scope. Given this topic is of interest to several members of the working group, it was recommended that they form an ad hoc working group, which I believe has had a meeting here in Singapore. There was no other business. The next meeting is this one. Over to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Benny. And I think to me that appears to be an appropriate recollection of my memories of the meeting. Does anyone have any changes, amendments, anything missing? Not? Can we accept that as the record of the meeting? Thank you. Did you have...
I just wanted to report that the ad hoc working group on the property issue did meet, just to go over this a little bit and describe it, because I'm not sure everybody was on the phone. There was a question that was raised about whether there was a property interest in a CCTLD that got created somehow. We spent a lot of time talking about it on the call on the 2nd, and Nigel and Everhard and Catherine, and I don't know if there was anybody else, and I were the ad hoc group we got together. I think that our conclusion is that, and Everhard will correct me if I'm wrong, that a delegation, whatever it is, creation of an entry of a CCTLD into the root represents some kind of property interest. But that said, that can be anything from you have the right to operate this until I say you can't, to, you know, something much more like the fact is that you either have a license or whatever, you have some kind of permission to operate the CCTLD. It might not be the same for all of the people who are out there. Susanna's looking at me in a concerned way, and I want to make sure everybody understands. I don't think it's a very I just think it's a, you can't operate something without some kind of interest in it, a property interest here. But that doesn't mean you own it. It doesn't also mean that you don't own it. It just means, It just means we don't know. It also means it could depend very widely, from operator to operator, depending on the circumstances of the delegation.
So I think that takes us back to the original concept that there is a form of contract in terms of the agreement between the delegation or not, and we can't get to those actual contracts. Eberhard has a point to raise.
Sorry, this is definitely not true. It is also not what was said. The word contract was never used in our deliberations. Most of us do not have a contract at all. And the point is... The point is whether we have a deal or not. The point is we don't know. What the group so far has deliberated is that there is some form of property which we do not know or do not want to go into or haven't gone into yet. And there is some interest in it. Somebody owns it, but we haven't gone any further. To say that there is a contract is clearly out of order.
Okay, I'll remove the word contract. I was thinking more of the legal context of contract, as in there was an agreement between, but I withdraw it. Is the ad hoc group going to continue to meet to discuss and may require some time in Senegal for a more open discussion on the topic? The answer is... Okay, yes. So the answer is yes, by Senegal. Thank you. Okay, thank you. And is there anything that's arisen since? I think, there is one point that's arisen since the meeting report, and that is that the GAC have agreed that they have received the work plan. So we should note that. And so now we have our work plan and amended charter all in order, and we can actually get down to the business of the framework of interpretation. So unless there's anything more procedurally, Frank, microphone. Who has the microphone?
Hello, is it working?
Yes.
For those who don't know me, I'm Frank March. I'm with the on the GAC representing New Zealand, but I'm also part of Internet New Zealand that runs .nz, so I've got a foot in both camps. just to note, as far as the GAC is concerned, that yes, it's received the work plan, it's fine. To note a couple of things about that the GAC would very much appreciate an outline of the expectations that will be on it over the next 2 years. It's got a huge amount of work to do. It does take time for the GAC to process paper for all sorts of reasons, which I don't think I need to go into. The longer the warning time, the better. Trying to work out within the GAC a work plan for the next 12 months or so. And obviously this work's extremely important. We don't want to unduly inhibit the work of the working group. So a timetable which is sort of based on when we might expect to see draft papers early, when the deadline for comment would be, and those sorts of things would be really helpful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Frank. And I think as a result of the joint CCNSO GAC session, we undertook from the CCNSO to provide a timeline of the critical points of open consultation of our outputs, which are probably more pertinent to the GAC to follow in detail rather than our much more detailed drafting documents, which are more internal to the working group. Of course, if anyone who is not on the working group from the GAC has a strong interest in the subject and wants to share papers, I think we also clarified that once a paper's been through one reading in this group, it should be considered to be a relatively public document and can be shared with people who have an interest. Okay, if there's nothing else, can we move into our substantial topic for the afternoon and the terminology paper? It's the Framework of Interpretation Working Group Terminology Version 2.0. And Bernie, do you want to walk us through? And please, all, if you have questions, I think it's appropriate to indicate the question at the time that we're addressing that text. And for those online, if you can raise your hand in the traditional way in the Adobe room, and I'll try and keep an eye on that. Thank you. Bernie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm starting to love those words. And Bernie will walk us through. Walking is tougher at 2 a.m., though. All right. Once more into the breach. This is probably the driest one of the bunch of them that we're going to do. So, sorry, it's painful. It was painful doing the research and writing it up. But if we can get through this, I think it'll be well worth it to frame our discussions and the further documents with clear referencing of how we use certain terms. So this being said, the structure is fairly standard if you've survived the DRD working group, right? Background introduction, the final report of the DRD delegation identified the following issues with this topic. From section 361 of the final report delegations, we have the terminology for the entity to whom CCTLD is delegated has evolved over time from manager to sponsoring organization without any input from the CCTLD community, probably to line up with GTLD terminology. The term sponsoring organization seems inadequate to many. This and other naming issues, potentially including the role accounts, should be reviewed in order to ensure they properly reflect the situation. So that was the remit of this from the DRD final report. The applicability of terminology is across the board, so I don't think we have any issues with that. And the related topics, most of the topics and issues to be considered by the FOI working group will be affected by the recommendations regarding this issue. All right. The proposed objectives of the work here are to identify all the terms that have been used to describe the parties involved in delegations or redelegations, such as delegee, manager, administrative contact, technical contact, sponsoring organization, and to which party it refers to from a functional point of view, and to produce a list of unique identifiers for all these parties identified. The initial list of terms to be considered under this topic was agreement, interested parties, manager, operator, and redelegation. So what we did then was to look at the core policy documents to identify which terms were used. What you've got in 3.1 is basically a list of the terms that are identified from RFC 1591 and under which section they appear. So basically we've got designated manager, manager, administrative contact, technical contact, community, significantly interested parties, contending parties, interested parties, applying party, organization, and registrants. Yes, Nigel.
This is just presumably administrative, but you say 2.5, re-delegation, and subsequently you talk about delegation. So I think 2.5 should read delegation and re-delegation. And earlier on, you said without input from the CCTLD community. Historically, that's not correct. There was a howl of input.
Thank you for that, Nigel. Okay. So this is the list of the terms that we find in RFC 1591. The GAC principles 2005 included a list of terms, but it was good because they also had definitions for a number of terms. And I've quoted those terms which are relevant to us and included the definition that we find in the GAC principles 2005 under section 3.2. CCTLD registry, or just registry, means the entity, whether an organization, enterprise, or individual responsible for managing and administrating the CCTLD, which an interesting use of the term, but could cause some confusion. Okay. Hold on. We have Kim that has a comment, with if he can find a microphone. Kim.
I'm listening to you race through some of these paragraphs and thinking about the poor scribes in Marina Del Rey. So just a suggestion, just to drop the tempo a little.
Yes. My apologies to the scribes. I'm sorry. I'm used to doing this without that. Yes, Eberhard. It doesn't work.
Now, I can see the scribing going on here. They seem to be coping quite well, actually.
I'll try to be... maybe they're coping with it now, but after an hour of this thing, I'm not sure how they're going to be feeling. We don't have to have that on the record. All right. Terribly sorry, dear scribes. Oh, darn. Okay. So we have a term for delegation under Getting Back to GAC Principles 2005 and its definition in there, which means the procedure that need to be taken by ICANN/IANA for the inclusion of a CCTLD into the DNS route upon receipt of an authoritative request. There's designated manager, relevant government or public authority. There's local internet community, which is an interesting definition. Local internet community means the local community in the country associated with the country code and includes the national government. This definition is specific to... don't want that. Okay. Fine. Be like that. Purpose is identified in this document and not broader. So basically they have a very specific definition, and we're going to see how we're going to work with that a little later in this document. Some other terms we find in the GAC principles, there's global internet community, organization, administrative contact, local stakeholders, registry managers, government or distinct economy, and redelegation. They do have a definition for redelegation. Means the change of the person or body responsible for the administration of a CCTLD registry effected by ICANN/IANA upon receipt of an authoritative request. So that would conclude the GAC terms. I don't think I missed any of them, which are relevant to the types of things we're trying to do here. But as we're all used to how we work here, of course, this is not the last crack we get at this. We'll be going at it again. If you think or find anything after the meeting, post it to the list. If it's more of a question you're unsure, you can send it to me directly, and we can see if there is something there, and if there is, then we'll post it to the list or just include it directly into the document. So don't worry. What we're trying to do here is get it right. So please, if you've got information that's relevant, let's share it.
Just, Benny, it's Keith. Just for the sake of, or for the benefit of the non-CCNSO members of this working group, during the joint ICANN board CCNSO session, we were advised there is a resolution coming up at the board meeting tomorrow to change the name in the IANA database from sponsoring organisation to manager, just as a point of interest. Martin.
Thanks. Martin Boyle from nomnet.uk. It's a question of procedure going through this document. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of this meeting. I was tied up elsewhere. You made a specific reference to the definition under the GAC principles of local internet community, whereas when I've read the document, I didn't find any other definition of local internet community listed here. Are we actually going to be discussing the difference of definitions at some stage in this walkthrough?
Yes, that's the point of the walkthrough.
At what stage?
When we get to where it's defined.
Okay.
All right, let's get back to it. Also, relevant IANA documentation that is publicly available contains some terms which are of interest. Terms used in the document titled Understanding the CCTLD Delegation and Redelegation Procedure. I believe that's the 2007 version, right, Kim? Yeah. There's sponsoring organization, community, parties served by the CCTLD, local interest in the country, local internet community, and internet community. So I've bunched those together because they seem to all be talking about essentially the same thing. There is a reference to operator, proposed new operator, and existing operator. There is administrative contact and technical contact. That's what I could dig up from that specific report. The one that's interesting, of course, are the terms used in the IANA reports. And you've got a line there that says, see Annex A for details. So for those wondering, yes, they were all torn apart, every single one of them, and we came up with the information that we're going to have here. So first up, in 4.2.1, under the heading of manager, probably the most used term in all of the 50 redelegation documents, and we don't actually have a number, it's just really large. There's all-inclusive caretaker, that was popular for a very brief time in IANA history, with 6 references. There's delegee, with 29. That's a typing, editing concern here. Manager appears twice. Sponsoring organization appears 23 times. Then there's supporting organization, which appears 6 times. Temporary caretaker, twice. And trustee, 8. So that's the lay of the land for manager. Next we go, sorry about that. Next we go to interested parties. When referring to local internet community instead of government, and we'll get into that discussion later on. There's community sentiment, which shows up 13 times. Under the general heading of persons, there's persons concerned or affected by the transfer 3 times, persons and or organizations that may be significantly affected 12 times, persons and organizations that may be significantly affected 8 times, and persons significantly affected by the transfer 27 times. Public interest 6 times, significantly interested parties. There's 2 categories here, significantly interested parties plus manager has 12 occurrences, and significantly interested parties plus trustee has 6 occurrences. Then there's stakeholders, which actually appears once in the .ca redelegation of 2000. Our next major theme was agreement. We find favor 4 times, no objection 7 times, not presented any challenge once, and support 13 times. Redelegation, we've got provisional redelegation, reassignment 12 times, and transfer 27 times. Operator, we have a large number of occurrences. So basically, this section is just the raw data once you've gone through all the information, what it looks like, and we'll start cutting that up and seeing what we can do with that in Section 5. All right, so are there any questions at this point? All right. Either I've managed to put you all to sleep. It's easier on the phone. You can imagine, you know, the people
you're not keeping them up if they're really bored, but for those that are stuck in the room, I'm keeping an eye on you now, right? All right, so let's head into the analysis. Section 5.1, General Notes, Definition of Terms. With the exception of the GAC principles, there are no other formal definitions of terms used by IANA for the administration of the DNS with respect to ccTLDs. Specific terms for DNS administration. Basically, the administration of the DNS is a specialized field, and as such, should have its own lexicon of terms. These terms should have clear and formal definitions for the specialized objects of the field and should be used whenever these objects are referred to. Just as an example, we've got the definition of manager in English from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's basically a person who directs a team or athlete or a student in a scholastic collegiate sport, supervises equipment of records under direction of the coach, a person who conducts business or household affairs, a person whose work as a profession is management. And, of course, in our universe, the definition of manager in the context of DNS administration, at least for ccTLDs, means the, quote, person to whom a ccTLD is delegated and recorded in the IANA database of TLDs. Are we okay? Okay. And we're doing pages 9 and 10 out of 86. But at the end, we've got the annexes, so don't worry. We won't wear you down that much. So I think just this example illustrates why we're trying to come up with some definitions. And what we've done here is made suggestions. We don't think they're necessarily the end thing, the final acceptable things, but it's always easier for people to comment and arrive at something if we've got something to start with. Use of terms in public IANA reports on delegations and redelegations. The narrative style used by IANA in the IANA reports on delegations and redelegations makes use of many synonyms for key terms such as manager. We've got sponsoring organization, supporting organization, operator, for local internet community, interested parties, stakeholders, etc., and redelegation, reassignment, transfers. This is common practice in English when using a narrative style. However, technical terms in IANA reports are meant to have a single meaning. As an example, manager is meant to be the, quote, person to whom a ccTLD is delegated, as recorded in the IANA database of TLDs. The use of synonyms in IANA reports on delegations and redelegations, although good writing style for a narrative, can greatly diminish the clarity of what should be communicated. Are you going to explode, Nigel? Okay.
The cheer will if the phone doesn't stop beeping.
And can often lead to confusion for the reader, especially when considering that these synonyms are not clearly defined for specific use by IANA or are used in different ways. Operator can refer to manager or the person who is in charge of operating the registry for the manager. Terms related to the agreement of the parties for the delegation and redelegation will be addressed in greater detail in the topics of consent and unconsented redelegations by this working group. Terms related to the status of the registry, manager, administrative contact, technical contact will be addressed in greater detail in the topic of valid manager, AC and TC, by this group. Terms related to the local internet community will be addressed in greater detail in the topic of interested parties. And the general notion that public IANA reports are produced in a narrative style will be addressed in the topic of IANA reports. So it was a little bit a question of a chicken and egg whether to place this report first or at the end after we've gone through all the specific ones. And basically, I decided to place it at the beginning, so at least we can get ourselves a set of terms to begin with. I think that the lexicon that we will develop today will continue to evolve as we do our work in the other topics. So it's not meant to be definitive. I think the terms that we define here will stay, but we will keep adding to it as we progress through our work under the other topics. All right, let's dive in to our first one. A question from Kim.
I guess it's more of a meta question. 5.1.3.1 and 5.1.3.2, I'm not disagreeing with the content. I fully agree with what's actually stated, but it seems to commingle observations and conclusions, the observation being how the terminology is used, and then 5.1.3.2 has a conclusion or a recommendation even perhaps that a certain approach should be taken, which is using terms consistently and so forth. I'm just wondering, should it be made more clear which parts of the document are observations and which are the conclusions of the working group? So,
I think if we go through the document, that will become very clear. And the point is that there is a recommendation section. This is more, I would say, working document style for now for us to go through.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. So, let's get some work done. Manager. So, I'll go a little quickly. We've talked about where the synonyms come from and how they're used. So, I'm not going to bore us by doing that again. We've got that full list already going. There are some in RFC 1591. There are some in the GAC Principles 2005. There are some in the IANA documentation understanding a CCTLD delegation and redelegation procedure. And there are all the terms used in the IANA reports on redelegations. So what we do then is provide a summary of the terms used and some comments where applicable. All-inclusive caretaker from IANA reports, the last recorded use is in the .tk redelegation of 2006. This term should be considered as no longer being used, I think. Yeah, we've got shaking his head, and I think he's happy with that. Delegee from IANA reports, last recorded in the .cx redelegation of 2006. I sort of like that word, but it's not popular right now. Now, Eberhard's shaking his head violently. He doesn't like it. Manager, designated manager, registry manager, comes from IANA reports, RFC 1591, and the GAC principles. The term manager was last used in an IANA report on redelegation in the .cd redelegation of 2009. Operator, proposed new operator, existing operator, comes from IANA reports and some documentation. The operator is used to denote manager or the company that is not the delegee but in charge of operating the CCTLD for the delegee. This could cause confusion. So we really see a use of operator both ways. We see a use of operator for manager, and we see the use of operator as the person who operates the CCTLD for the manager. So from the IANA document understanding the CCTLD delegation and redelegation procedure, we have the following. A detailed description of how existing CCTLD operations will be transferred to the proposed new operator in case of a redelegation. So clearly referring to the fact that an operator is what will be named a manager for us right now. In the .kn redelegation of 2008, we have the following text. The proposal calls for the redelegation of the .kn top-level domain to the Ministry of Finance, Sustainable Development, Information Technology. In this proposal, registry operations would be conducted by a partner organization with registry experience. This partner is the Taiwan Network Information Center, an established registry operator, and the current supporting organization for the .tw domain. So obviously, in that one, we've got IANA referring to it as more the classical operator role as opposed to a manager. Kim's got a comment.
I won't make this observation pretending that I can speak for every report, but I think I agree it's an issue to clarify, but I think operator has always been used in the sense that it is the party that operates the registry itself. And as you know, there's many different models in different countries where you might have a policy board above them, and depending on the circumstance in the country, sometimes that policy board is appointed the sponsoring organization. In other cases, it's that registry operator. So I agree with the conflation is an issue to be discussed, but I would say that it's probably consistent that operator always refers to the party that operates the registry.
I don't think we're arguing with that. It's just it can be confusing when you use it, you know.
To paraphrase Bill Clinton, who said famously, it all depends on what the meaning of the word is. It all depends on the meaning of what the word operate is. I've heard operator used colloquially to mean sponsoring organization.
Yeah. No, and that's the point of what we're doing today. So, okay. Where were we? Ah, yes. Okay. Organization comes at us from RFC 1591, the GAC principles, only used in conjunction with sponsoring or supporting in IANA reports. Registry or CCTLD registry is a term used for manager in the GAC principles. The sponsoring organization, supporting organization from IANA reports and documentation. These two terms seem to be used interchangeably by IANA in its redelegation reports, yet the term supporting organization has never been formally defined. So Kim's got, no, this is what we're for.
I honestly think supporting organization has just been an error. I think everyone has CCNSO on the brain, and because we use the term supporting organization in so many other facets of ICANN, that when the reports were being written, it was just an honest mistake.
No, I understand that, but if we're going to go through it, then, you know. So the term sponsoring organization was first used in 2000 and is still in use currently. The term supporting organization was first used in 2005 and last used in 2008. So there was a period where IANA had supporting organization on the brain, as Kim said. Yeah, one would imagine they meant that. Temporary caretaker from IANA reports, only used twice in redelegation reports for the .ly and .yu redelegations. Given there's no formal definition of this term, it should be studied in greater detail by the FOI working group. Trustee has been showing up a lot in the IANA reports. After an initial use in the .au redelegation of 2001, the term fell out of use until 2009 when it began being used consistently and is still in use. Nigel.
The word trustee in a document that either is a legal document or has legal effects is going to be of great interest, and I'm going to suggest that we spend some considerable time looking at its implication in all meanings of the word trustee.
Okie dokie.
So let's get into the analysis section. The fact that a half dozen significantly different terms have been used by IANA over the years, often in the same IANA report as a substitute for the term manager, can lead to confusion. This is especially frustrating for the CCTLD community, which has never been consulted by IANA on these matters. The term that is most used in IANA reports on redelegations is manager. The term is also defined and used in both RFC 1591 and the GAC principles. So the term operator is used in more than one way. Kim noted that it depends on circumstances, and we should take that into account. And I'll modify the text to note that. But this can lead to confusion. I think what we're trying to do with this bit of work here is remove that potential confusion, right? Okay. So really what we're saying here is the term we're recommending is manager. Okay, let's stop calling it anything else. It's going to be manager. For those that came in late, Keith noted that the board should be taking the steps to remove the wording sponsoring organization and going to manager. So I think we're consistent there. While we were at it, thought that we should go into the related terminology because we use a lot of terms that mean specific things relative to managers. There's incumbent and proposed managers. There have been a variety of terms to describe the incumbent and proposed managers in reporting on redelegation requests, such as existing, current, listed, new, proposed. So it's just a question. There's been a lot of different terms in use. The incumbent manager is the manager of record, according to the IANA database of TLDs, prior to a redelegation request being accepted. When the term manager is used alone, it should be understood to mean the incumbent manager. The party which is identified as the new manager in a delegation or redelegation request should be referred to as the proposed manager. Does that make sense for everyone? And don't forget, we'll have another crack at this. We're not making a final approval, and we're looking forward to hearing comments and alternative strategies. But as I said earlier, we're putting up something so you can take a crack at it. We got a comment from Kim.
Kim, you're just looking a little bit confused, and is it over where it transitions from?
No, I'm actually not confused, but I think there's an additional class of manager, which is perhaps what listed typically would refer to, which is when we have a situation where there is a party listed in the IANA database, but based on all the facts and circumstances, there is some other party actually that has taken over operation, often many years prior. So I think sometimes when we say listed, we're alluding to the fact that it is what's in the database, but the facts pertain to the fact they have no actual role in running the domain name today.
Yes, I agree fully. When I was going through, we're going through version 2.0, while I was developing the first draft of the consent paper, I came on to the de facto redelegations and the stealth redelegations, and I've included all that terminology in version 2.1 of this document. So, yes, quite correct. Nigel?
I hate to keep doing this because there are far more...
We're going
to
do this all day because we're talking about words and this
thing. No, I appreciate it. Now, what I'm going to do is effectively be a little bit presumptuous because there are far more legally qualified and legally experienced people than me here. But the IANA database is kind of like a register, and like a domain name register, of course, is what it is. It's a register of registered top-level domains. In land law, at least in England, where most land is registered, nearly all of it now, the expression is that you look at the register on its face. So in other words, what is listed is what is listed. You can look behind it in some circumstances, but what is listed is what is listed. That is the manager. And if you want to think of a circumstance where, for example, and we all know the situation of Ireland, where the university college is listed as the manager, that is the manager in law. There may be some other things, something else going on, but that's the listed manager on its face. So we could use the expression on its face.
I think what we're trying to do here, Nigel, is come up with terminology that's going to be easy for a wide variety of cultures to use. And on its face, I think it's very handy in a term of art in Britain, but, you know. So, Christina, given that Nigel's all excited about us working on words, could you order pizza? And could you call your families, because we're going to be here for a few days?
Can we have some order? Martin has a question.
Thanks. I hope I'm not going to try and confuse all of this. It is a question, and it really is actually about, and I think it builds on Nigel's points without using in your face or whatever it was he used. It really is that if it's listed in the IANA list, then that is the term manager. Where somebody else is running it, wouldn't they really be the operator? Because, you know, otherwise I find it difficult in understanding why we would use the word operator.
There's one, I mean, I think that's going to be often the case. For example, there's an officially designated manager that uses a service provider or, has some relationship with it. The only problem is where you have a manager that has just passed along everything and disappeared, the question of whether somebody's an operator, it doesn't quite convey what's actually happened here. I mean, I do think the manager in the database is the designated manager, and it's very hard to, I just don't think that the operator is going to, I think we, for the stealth redelegations, we need another word, because it just doesn't convey the service provider kind of arrangement.
But essentially what you're saying in that case is that the IANA database is out of date. In other words,
what we're saying, I think, is that something has happened that has not been, it could be, whether it's out of date or unauthorized, I don't want to put a judgment on it, but it's basically the manager is the name in the database designated to manage this. And so you have an actual operator or manager or something like that in a situation, but I don't know if we can...
So I'll just add the observation that, this is typically, these terms are used in a narrative description of the factual background that is at the prelude to the decision. So it's not a case of trying to ascribe recognition to a particular party, the sponsoring organisation / manager that's listed in the IANA database is who ICANN recognises as the legal responsible party for the domain. However, when a decision is being made, we often talk about in cases where, effective or de facto operation has already transferred to some other party, for most or all intents and purposes, except for ICANN recognition, we describe that and we use this kind of terminology.
Yeah, it's a manager of record, and then there's another word we need.
Can we actually come back to the original issue raised by Kim, I think. Just for the record, the previous comment on the transcript was attributed to me, and it was Kim who was speaking. I think, Kim, you've made the point about why you might use the term listed manager, and it's quite valid. So let's progress and keep that noted and revisit further down the document, please. Nigel? Yeah.
I just want to underline this is something that throughout the work we're going to have to visit very carefully. There's a principle called the Torrens principle, which is in the context of a register, I'm going to use the expression on its face, but on its face is accurate, irrespective of what may really be going on. I may own a house, and I may have allowed you to take it over, but the register still says I own the house. Mirror curtain insurance, or well, I suppose.
I don't think we're having a discussion about that. The term manager is going to be used. What we're asking two questions here. Is the
listed
term
manager
we want to use for what is listed manager?
Yes
or no?
That's the point I'm making.
Okay.
Yes, it is. That is the manager.
Okay.
There is no other manager.
There may be other terms we will use which will couch what that manager is, and we will have the discussion about that at that point to see if it's valid. But right now, the question is, do we want to use the term manager?
Yes, so we've got to the short answer after the long answer. Patricio.
Yeah, Patricio Bobolete here. I believe that we should try to be very specific, very precise about the main word, the word manager, so we all understand what manager is. And I'm sure we will find occasions when we will want to add some modifier to it, some adjective, like, for instance, the current manager, the future manager. We could talk about the first manager, the initial manager, whatever. We don't need to think of all those possible combinations right now. Only make sure that we understand what manager is.
Yes and no. I think it's useful to have some qualifiers as we go through because they are regularly used. And as we will progress through our work in other topics, some things became obvious to me. So I've included them. If we don't want to deal with those right now, that's fine. But I'm recommending to you that we consider them at least for the moment.
I think it's important to do it as we go along because we find out that words that we pick don't work when we get into that situation, so it's actually useful. I just want to clarify that I think that the sense of the room, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the term manager is used to refer to the manager of record, the name in the IANA database. Are we all there? Okay. And I would like to use manager of record rather than list manager, but we'll talk about it.
Okay. Well, that was fun. So our first adjective is proposed manager because there really are two different parties in a redelegation request. There's the manager, which is, as we've described, is the incumbent manager. If we don't use anything else, manager means the person who's in the database, so that's the incumbent. But we need a term to refer to the party to whom we want to redelegate. Pardon me? Mike read, well, Mike won, okay. I don't want to argue about the Mike, but the proposed party. So we've come up with proposed manager to identify the second party in a redelegation request. Patricio.
Yeah, my only problem with the word proposed is that someone who's been proposed may be given that the management of the domain, or it could be rejected, right? And so once it's assigned to it, it's not proposed anymore. It's already been accepted. The proposal has already been accepted, right? So proposed manager doesn't carry through the whole process.
Well, the notion is it's proposed until he's accepted, and when he's accepted, he becomes the manager.
I actually think it raises an interesting question, which maybe we'll deal with at some later point, which is that the tense of the report is that this is part of the proposal to the board. So the way the wording is
Yeah, I was thinking.
Now, when we go through this, we will discuss what it means. Do we really have to discuss?
Yeah, the term proposed, I think, is important because in a redelegation request, we have two parties. So we need to come up with one word. If you want candidate, that's fine. If you want proposed, that's fine. If you want something else, that's fine, too. But we need, it's a party in a redelegation request. We need a name for it. Eberhard.
I agree with that, but do we need it now? We need to go through this document to see how many of these things have been used, how often, and then we start. And then we decide what each thing means, and then we decide which that we should use in the future. Are we there yet?
If we want to wait a bit, we will get back to it later in the document. You're quite right.
Okay. Keith Davidson is speaking. Okay, we seem to have reached a point of slight impasse. Can we move on? Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Operator, now we're, just to resync everyone here, we're still under the heading of manager. So operator, although the term operator should not be used as a synonym for manager, it could denote some useful information as to who actually is operating the CCTLD. This could be especially useful given that a number of CCTLDs are not directly operated by the manager. The term manager-operator could denote a manager that is both manager and operator. The term manager could denote a CCTLD that is managed but not operated by the same entity, and the term operator could denote the party that is listed as the manager of the CCTLD but is responsible for all operations.
Okay.
I like the two operator for the whoever's doing the hands-on, manager for the deli, the whoever in the list, and the manager operator if they're the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Vicky, please remember to use your name. I'm not sure why we're being scribed, but since we are, I guess we should make it an accurate record. Patricia.
Yeah, here. I agree that perhaps the word operator used as Bernie describes it could usefully identify that entity that's actually running the day-to-day operations. What I don't see is the need for ever using that term in our work, because all what we are charged to do is to identify who the manager is for a certain TLD and how that manager is changed. The fact that in real life sometimes there are outsourcing agreements, for instance, should have no impact in our work, and I don't think we'll ever be using the word operator as you define it.
Kim Davies.
I guess it probably echoes what was just said. I mean, just looking at the examples there, my understanding is ALDA outsources registry back-end operations but provides customer service and is the community for registry operations. So each country is different, and you can't give a definition for everywhere. So I think we want to capture what do we mean by operator and in what context it's relevant for reporting and to work out how it's used.
Okay. Thank you. Our next section gets back into trying to qualify a little bit the status of the manager, because what we see through the history of the IANA reports is managers have varying status depending on conditions. Active and inactive managers. Not all managers in redelegation requests are active, and the terminology to refer to their status varies greatly in each IANA report. The variance in terminology can lead to confusion, essentially fall into three categories. There is derelict. There is documentation that the manager no longer exists or will never be able to interact with IANA. There have been a few such cases over the years. We've got some examples, and I don't want to go through the details. If you're interested, it's there in the report. I think another category that might be useful would be inactive. Although not derelict, the manager is not involved in the day-to-day administration and operation of the CCTLD and has not been for some time. In such cases, there are two possibilities. Either there is a de facto manager, which is probably also the de facto operator of the registry, which handles the day-to-day management of the registry, or the registry itself is inactive or derelict. There are some examples of inactive managers. There are de facto managers, which we talked about in the previous point. Active, which signifies the managers currently involved in the day-to-day administration operations of CCTLD. The issue of how one classifies a manager as derelict, inactive, active, or de facto, and what procedures this should invoke if this is confirmed, will be addressed in the topic of active manager AC and TC. However, it would be useful to formalize the terms for this topic. So that's the end of the analysis section and proposal for manager, and I'll take any closing questions on manager.
Do you use the same terminology later to refer to administrative and technical contacts? Because I think the term derelict, inactive would be very useful there too.
Yes, that's what I've tried to do, and as we go through all the terms, you'll see a consistency of the adjectives and how we apply them. At least that's what I'm proposing that could be useful when we're describing these objects.
And if there's no other questions, I think this is an appropriate time to take our 3:15 break, as it's almost in that time zone. We've got to where I predicted we would by this time, expecting exactly the amount of controversy we have had. Would the people who like prospective as a term walk through the left door? We will reconvene in 15 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, I'm not texting Preparing, we'll start again in 1 minute. You were very natural when throwing the snowball.
Was that natural?
You were our inspiration.
Oh, really? It was Christina who directed me, so now Gary throws snowball.
I don't know. Okay. I don't really
know. You got me thinking it would be so much fun to work with that sort of professional.
Yeah.
I want to do something professional. Instead of, you know, I can tell you, I once went to the profession. I was asked by a friend to be an extra for a TV commercial.
Uh-huh.
And I was so professional that I was asked to show up so much that you could not see me. He cut me off everyone.
You were edited out.
I was edited out. The whole day the filming and I was not there for 1 second.
Can everybody take their seats now and we'll resume the meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Okay, can we go back? Are we online and recording and everybody's happy? Well, let's move along, please. Bernie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to note, in version 2.1, we've included a formal definition of manager, which takes what was earlier in the document just to be consistent with style. I noted when I was reviewing it for this presentation that there were a few inconsistencies. All right, on to our next bit of fun, administrative contact. Rather steady all the way through, no significant misuse or synonyms or everything, so I think that's a good idea. What we don't have is a definition. There's a proposal here. The administrative contact is the role or individual named by the manager and listed in the IANA database of TLDs and is responsible for acting as the primary administrative contact between the manager and ICANN-IANA. The AC is not required to have extensive technical knowledge of the Internet, but is required by IANA to approve all changes to the IANA database regarding the CCTLD, including redelegation requests. The AC can only be replaced by the manager as per the documented IANA procedures for this. Now, I will add in the comments from Bill, who sent them in, for those who saw it on the list. He sort of rewrote it around, and Bill's such a great editor that his text obviously sounds better than this one, but essentially says the same thing, but I'll finish confirming that, and everyone can have a read at it. His question relative to this was, what's the IANA procedure for replacing an administrative contact? And as far as I'm concerned, it's a change request, Kim? What's the procedure, the IANA procedure, to change an admin contact?
The procedure is for the AC and TC to confirm and for the sponsoring organizational manager to also support that.
Nigel.
With the benefit of history, this procedure was unilaterally changed by ICANN around 1999 or 2000 without the benefit of policy. The Internix system treated a TLD as any other domain. The administrative contact could change his or, in other words, the owner of the admin contact object in the database which used to hold .com and TLDs together, could replace or change his or her own details automatically within seconds. at any time. In fact, it was quite common to have something called a nick handle, which was used both for .com domains and for TLDs.
Can I stop you for a sec? Okay. I don't want to get into a discussion of the procedures for admin contacts. All I'm saying is we have a definition. There is a procedure. I mentioned Bill's question. What is the procedure currently for changing it? Kim answered. This section is not about procedures for changing ACs and TCs. Okay.
But on the matter of definitions, one important thing that maybe you're dealing with this later, I don't know, about an admin contact, and if you're not dealing with it later, it's worthwhile mentioning it briefly here. An admin contact is an essential part of the delegation, because if the manager is not in the country or territory represented by the two-letter code, then you must have an admin contact who is. That's one of the requirements of the policy in RSC 1591.
Actually, that's a very good point. That should be in the definition. Thank you. I mean, it's so obvious for me. No, this is great. Excellent. Thank you. Kim, you had something else?
It's 1 o'clock.
Okay. Whoa, where'd that come from?
Yeah, that's easy.
All right. Where were we? Okay. There were types of contacts. We have the role account, position in the organization or government, such as VP of Operations, the Minister of Cultural Affairs. There's an individual. A specific individual is named, such as John Smith, with associated contact information. It could further be specified that this person's role is linked to their professional affiliation or not, i.e., you're affiliated with a specific company, or you're the contact as an individual. So that may carry some import at some point. The status, we've tried to keep to what we talked about for the manager. Active, is in regular contact with the manager and IANA and is involved with all changes with IANA. Inactive, the individual advises IANA that he does not consider himself, or should be him or herself, in good standing with the manager or able to properly carry out its duties as an AC. The manager is active, but the role is not. Examples of this are the VP of Operations or the manager. And the organization was named as the AC, but the organization has restructured and there is no longer a VP of Operations. So there is some basis for having an inactive contact. Then there's derelict, and we tried to use the same methodology or definition. Role account AC no longer active. If it's a role account, the organization no longer active, or the affiliated individual administrative contact cannot be contacted or is no longer affiliated with the organization. Under an unaffiliated administrative contact, cannot be contacted by IANA or is proven to be permanently unable to carry its responsibilities, death, mental incapacity, whatever. So there are many, depending on the type admin contact you are, there are categories which we need to recognize. There are different classifications which we will investigate in detail under active manager, AC, and TC. But we wanted to give some flavor of the vocabulary that we'll be getting there. That concludes it for administrative contacts. So basically, we're proposing to keep the term AC. We've given a proposed definition. Bill Semich has returned something. We've got the comment from Nigel. Are there any last questions on AC? Quick, before Patricio comes up with something.
Patricio Poblete here. I'm just a bit confused by the affiliated individual IC, which is no longer affiliated? How come someone who's called affiliated is not affiliated?
Okay, if we go back. Okay. Okay. In 53.32.1, basically, 53.33, okay, we're saying in a NIN contact there can be several types, okay? There can be a role account, okay? It's a position in the organization or the government. So it's the VP of operations that's named, or it's the Minister of Cultural Affairs, or something like that. So it's not an individual position. There can be an individual, a specific individual's name, to be the AC, but we're saying it could be further specified in that that person could be named as part of an affiliation, i.e., this person from that company. Therefore, he is the AC as a member of that company. If he's no longer a member of that company, then that could signify that he can no longer be an AC. Could also be unaffiliated, meaning it's just the individual, so it doesn't matter where the person works. If it's an unaffiliated individual that is named as the contact, then as long as you, IANA, can interact with the contact, then that would be okay. I believe that Nigel had his hand up first.
To list, this is not semantics now, was this? But
okay.
It's worth noting from a procedural point of view, maybe Kim can either take it on board or... To list John Smith, VP Operations of Netco, is ambiguous. It's probably, almost certainly the case, that he's there in his position as VP Operations of Netco, but there are other circumstances in which it's not so clear, depending on what's written. And, you know, we don't necessarily know that if it's Nigel Roberts Mailbox Incorporated, it could just be a mailing address and look like that. If it was listed that it was Netco that was the admin contact, which it could easily be because a contact can be a legal person as well as a natural one,
right.
Contact John Smith, that would be absolutely unambiguous. So for future going forward, a procedural point might be to insist that the legal person or the person who is the admin contact, whether it's the organization or the person or an individual, is listed as the admin contact and then contact name. That's my point.
Very good. Thank you, Nigel. Kim?
Kim Davies.
Yes. So I think this is actually very interesting, but we have no distinction between affiliated and unaffiliated right now. And there's no notion that some ACs can be replaced and some cannot. It's uniformly applied, irregardless of whether it's a role account, individual, the business logic in terms of when they can be replaced. So I guess it raises an issue I raised a little earlier, which is I'm a little concerned that it's drifting possibly away from definitions and into the realm of perhaps policy. So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just wondering if it's classified clearly that, for example, 5.3.3.2.1.2, there's no such entity right now in terms of our policy or procedures.
Okay. Nigel.
Thanks. My previous comment I did define was not interpretation, but was procedural. I think, uncomfortable although it might seem, we will, first of all, we'll stumble onto procedural matters, which are relatively straightforward, and we can make perhaps comments that can be taken on board because procedures can easily be changed. And on the other hand, we will stumble on thorny policy issues, which we can't necessarily handle ourselves, but we will have to highlight as requiring attention. And the policy whereby, without any documentation, without any change to the existing policy being defined, where an admin contact who can, as you've identified, be unaffiliated, can block the proper execution of the designated manager's responsibilities is quite worrying. I know ICANN have been doing this since 2000 because I remember sending in a request which wasn't acted on basically when they split the database from the .com database. And all of a sudden, you now required all the admin, technical, and sponsoring organization, perhaps we'll call it that until tomorrow, to positively verify the change. If the admin if my address changes, I'm the admin contact only in one TLD, if my address changes and I write to IANA telling them my address has changed, I don't expect them to write to the company secretary of Island Networks Limited to confirm that Nigel Roberts' address has changed, but that's the situation as it is now.
Okay, and that's not what we're doing here.
No.
So what I'm taking away from this chunk of the conversation is there are some questions around the notion of affiliated and unaffiliated, but the notion of administrative contact is good. The notion of active, inactive, and derelict is interesting. Kim? Davies.
Sorry, I was just going to change slightly what you said. I think there clearly is a notion of affiliated or unaffiliated. It's just what powers they have, which is sort of the second clause of your definition. That's what needs to be tweaked.
Okay. Anything else on AC? All right. TC, essentially close enough carbon copy of AC, where the only change of import is that the TC should have sufficient technical knowledge to effectively interact with IANA. The rest is all exactly the same as for the AC. And TC is used rather straightforwardly everywhere by everyone, so I don't see any point in changing that. Any questions on TC? Going once, going twice. We got the ball rolling, Chief.
Keep going.
Okay. 5.5. All right, we're changing gears here a bit. Interested parties when referring to the local internet community instead of the government. And please let me finish going through this. I'll try to explain it, and then I'll be glad to take all stones and comments. RFC 1591 refers to the input from the local community in several areas. The two of interest to our group can be found in the sections dealing with delegations and redelegations. Section 4, significantly interested parties in the domain should agree that the designated manager is the appropriate party. Again, from Section 4, however, it's also appropriate for interested parties to have some voice in selecting the designated manager. Section 6, it's also very helpful for the IANA to receive communications from other parties that may be concerned or affected by the transfer. Nigel.
I think I'll just say out loud what I just said privately to Eberhard. God, you're good. This is very, very significant. What you're actually saying here is that there are three classes of people who should be consulted.
Oh, I'm supposed to identify myself to the scribes. I'm Eberhard Lisse. The point is, you leave out in what context these things have been referred to. I'm just saying. You just mentioned they are being mentioned, but it is the in what context? I think we don't discuss this now, so I won't delve into this. I just want to make sure that it's on the record. I do not have never agreed with anybody having any word in the unselection of an existing incumbent. The point is that this is only for the delegation part of it. But we will come to this later. Just want to make sure it's in the notes.
Anybody else? Okay. The GAC principles refer to the local internet community in Section 3.9. The local internet community means the local community in the country associated with the country code and includes the national government. This definition is specific to the purposes identified in this document and not broader. So that's really about the GAC principles 2005. There's also the term local stakeholders in Section 7.1. IANA documentation refers to community, parties served by the CCTLD, local interest in the country, local internet community, and internet community. The IANA reports on redelegations include community sentiment, first used in the BB redelegation of 07, persons, and you know, we can just go through the details, but I don't think it really will add a lot to our discussion. Such a number of terms can only lead to confusion. I mean, there's really a wide range, and it's, to me anyways, from reading all the terms, even I sometimes scratch my head trying to figure out exactly what we're talking about, especially in light of the GAC definition that we've got something else. So one of the things we could consider for the local internet community could be that it's the official term for the collection of individuals, organizations, companies, and associations which have an interest in the delegation, redelegation, and operation of the CCTLD, I've added DS now that we have IDNs, which represents their country or territory. This does not include the government of the country or territory. Eberhard.
I can't live with the word which represents.
Okay.
Bernie?
Pardon me? Yeah?
This is Jaap. Yes. Since we are... This is Jaap Akkerhuis on the phone for the Skype. Since we are talking about terminology, we should probably use the same terminology as in ISO 3166, which doesn't really talk only about country, but talks about country and territories.
I'm missing
the point. The point is for... I think that what he's saying, Becky Burr, the point is that the ISO 3166-1 list refers to, includes countries and territories. We're talking about countries in here as opposed to countries and territories. That's right. I was just translating.
Yeah, yes, very good. Just when we're discussing things, we use country as a shorthand for country and territory, but in formal definitions, we do include both. But thank you for reminding us of that. Nigel.
Leading on from what Jaap said, in one case, there is something on the ISO list that is neither a country nor a territory. There may be more than one, but there's at least one. Can we just footnote this? Because at some point, we're going to have to deal with who the local internet community is for blocks of land governed by multinational treaty or something like that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a notable that...
Yeah, UM is also not a territory.
Yeah, well, Antarctica is not, as a disputed territory covered by some treaties by some, in different parts. Anyway, I think going back, I think Eberhard's first point was that... he had an express objection to the wording which represents their country or territory, and I think it is associated with the country and territory might be a more appropriate wording. So if you're satisfied, Eberhard.
I'm quite satisfied. With regards to the territorial issue, as far as I understand, the ISO refers to countries and distinct economies with regards to, for statistical purposes. They define, Faroe is really part of Denmark in a sense, but it's just separate. We don't have to go into semantics, because AQ is the only main exception, OM is the other one. But also, what you do if a country doesn't have a government, one can say government for the of the country, and I don't really know.
Well, we probably do have to be quite semantic, because we have Jaap, who associates himself well with the ISO 3166 list, and he has his hand up, so Jaap.
Yeah, I don't want to go in a semantic discussion, but I think that if you use the ISO 3166 as a reference, you should not deviate from the definitions in there. I want to warn about that.
You've got a lot of people nodding their heads. Good point. And yes, ISO 3166.
I can always look up the precise definition from the standard itself if you want to use it or repeat it.
I don't think that's going to be necessary, thank you. Yeah. Yes, it's important to note the history of the ISO 3166 list and its use for postal addressing processes and so on. It's countries and territories is a very loose term, but I think we have an understanding of the confines and the definition within ISO 3166. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you. So, why change the definition versus what the GAC had? And I'll explain to you the thinking, and maybe it's incorrect. I think if you go through all the IANA reports, whenever we're talking about government or territorial administration, in an IANA report, they're identified as such, very specifically, the government, the territorial administrator. It's never in question. It's never grouped together. Yet we needed a term to describe all those other bodies in a country or territory which have an interest. So to my mind, it made sense to sort of, and the term that was most used was local internet community in the IANA report. So what we're proposing is that the local internet community be all those other parties, and the government is the government. Now, I don't want to make that frustrating for the government folks, but...
Nigel and then Kim. All right, Kim, then Nigel.
Kim Davies here. I think that typically we've used LIC as a catch-all for everything, including government, typically the way we've used it until now. But I would note, and I don't have an answer for this, but I would note when we say government, we mean like the sovereign government of the country or territory. And there's probably other governments or ministries or other elements in government that would probably fall under the LIC definition. So I would be careful not to completely rule out governments if we're doing so, and perhaps try and capture the sovereign government's role versus other aspects of government.
Okay. We did have, we were in the joint GAC-CCNSO session yesterday learning about the difficulties of federated states with no central government and so on. Suzanne, did you want to further clarify?
Well, if I could, Suzanne, we're down here. Thank you. Is this better? Oh, great. Suzanne. There may be some isolated cases along the lines of what was just cited, but I think if you do have a case where there is a central government, then it would not be accurate to talk about other ministries, other whatever. I mean, in most cases, government is government. So I know we've run into this confusion a little bit in ICANN, trying to make a distinction between law enforcement and the GAC. And we have tried to, that's just an example, unrelated to our work here, and we have said, well, no, actually, law enforcement is part of government, therefore they are part of GAC. So I think any government would probably, normally their instinct would be to say, well, even if there is a regional something or other, when we're talking about these issues at country level, you're talking about the highest level of government then, would be the responsible entity that would fall under the heading of government. But just to make an observation to share with you, I'm not entirely persuaded, this is a personal view, this is not a GAC view, that this distinction you're seeking to make is going to be very workable or helpful.
Okay.
And I think it might aggravate the issue of trying to shape and understand what the concept itself means. You will have several countries that could be fairly small, they could be fairly underdeveloped, whatever. They might say, no, it is our responsibility as government to represent the interests of our citizens. And so they would find that they are the appropriate entity all these interests.
Yeah, just to be clear, we're not trying to attribute responsibility here in this definition. We're just trying to identify blocks of people.
Okay. Suzanne, just for further clarification, then I have Kim and Nigel.
Just a quick follow-up, and thank you for giving me the time. I know that's not your intention, but de facto, that will be the understanding.
Okay.
That will be a takeaway. So I just put that out there, that you might want to be very sensitive to that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
While you're here, I appreciate that.
I think just before I move on to Kim, there was the point made by the government of Norway about the deciding in country the relevant authority responsible for or that feels it's responsible for delegation of new or agreeing and approving new GTLDs, and that department writing to ICANN saying we are the ministry in charge of this. So one could argue that the same could apply to by a government writing to ICANN saying, you know, we are the ones to clarify. Anyway, sorry, Kim, then Nigel.
Just an example I thought that might help is, you know, for example, I think commonly we get an education ministry talking to us, representing that this is supported by the universities or the high-level education sector in the country. So they're not purporting to speak on behalf of the government in terms of giving the overall government's view, but they're part of the internet community, namely academia, and they're giving a position. So, you know, just an example of where we're not talking about the government stating an overall position, but some aspect of government that is giving an opinion that filters in with many others.
Thank you, Kim. And Nigel?
Yeah, somebody just give me another microphone. This one seems to work, which is good. I think actually both Kim and Suzanne are both correct. I'm a little bit uncomfortable, although prepared to go along with it if it turns out to work out, to redefine the local internet community in this way. It's my understanding, based on the years that we've been doing this, that from RSC 5091, amongst other things, but principally, the term local internet community was inclusive of governmental authorities. Because, quite clearly, if you look at the other terms, significantly interested parties. There's again no doubt that the government or governmental authorities, which I'll come to a little bit more subtle on that in a second, are responsible for public policy for companies and individuals located within their jurisdiction. Having said that, there's another interesting point here, and it specifically, and probably only, but maybe not, relates to our own constitutional situation. The Channel Islands are almost a country, but not quite. In other words, complete self-government in domestic matters except for defence and foreign affairs. So the United Kingdom government normally represents the interests of the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man, and
the British overseas territories abroad. So in separating out the definitions, you may say, well, the national government is the government that has the say, where in fact it would be the national government on the advice, should we say. It's a technicality. But there are these things, as Suzanne quite rightly points out, are incredibly a matter of sensitivity in different territories and countries. Whereas if you have the inclusive definition, which I think both Kim, Suzanne, and I kind of prefer, it solves that problem. You don't have to look at that because the local government and the national government all have things to say, and it's resolved internally the communication channels in which they're made.
I take the wisdom. It's, you know, not a problem.
I hope that wasn't too detailed. And
yes, but it's okay. Okay. So I'll bring the local internet community back to being completely inclusive. Agreement. Terms used in IANA reports. Favor, no objection, not presented any challenge, support. RFC 1591 requires agreement of the incumbent manager for redelegation. Not all these terms can be considered as synonyms for agreement in all circumstances. The use of the term not presented any challenge could mean the contact has not replied to IANA's confirmation request. As such, the use of these terms to describe the agreement by the contact for redelegation could lead to confusion. So I guess what we're saying here is when we're being very specific regarding approving a request, we should use a specific term, which should be agree or consent, because we've gone through some other work elsewhere, but that's basically what it's going to boil down to. Redelegation. IANA reports on redelegations use a number of terms as a synonym for this: provisional redelegation, reassignment, transfer. This could lead to confusion. So really, let's stick to redelegation. If it's a redelegation, it's a redelegation. And we'll get that done in some of the next section. Whoa, come back here. Other related terminology issues. We're in the home stretch, folks. Don't fall asleep. I'm proposing that the qualifiers we use for manager EC and TC could also apply to the registry itself. So registry could be active, inactive, or derelict. And there are some words here to talk about potential things. I'm looking forward to Kim adding color and depth or actually burning them at the stake, but it might, I believe it could be useful in going forward. So basically the way we've got this structured is that we end up with a recommendation that the FOI working group recommends that ICANN and IANA use the lexicon, or you can call it a glossary, I'm not wed to the word, developed by the FOI working group when communicating about the administration of CCTLDs. ICANN and IANA should not use approved or undefined synonyms for terms defined in this document. So then we retake basically everything we've talked about today as definitions. There have been changes. I don't think we need to, you know, beat them to death. There is nothing different in Section 7. We've just condensed various definitions into a draft glossary of those terms all in one place. Nigel.
Section 7.1.2.1. Here you define administrative contact self-referentially. I think that should read something along the lines of the AC is the role or individual identified by the manager and listed in the IANA database and responsible for acting as the primary point of contact. Suggestion.
Any other questions? The way I see this at this point is we've gotten a lot of feedback from this session. So I would propose that I draft a version 2.1 of this that incorporates the comments and the thoughts and the changes and the various other things, and that we have another go at it. Does that sound okay? Ezra?
When will you... Yeah, that sounds okay. When will you actually take more feedback after... We're not closing the session now. We're still going to discuss the contents of it, or...
Oh, we can keep going. There's really not a problem. All I'm saying is that, you know, we can go over all the elements, and feedback is, you, as I said earlier in the session, is always welcome. So if, whether it's in the session or in between meetings, if you've got thoughts, you can post to the list or you can post to me individually. We'll be glad to consider those.
Okay, Desiree again. So I'll make them here now quickly. Just in 5611, where you list the possible responses of dementia, it says favor no objection not presented, any challenge and support. I would have trouble seeing differentiating favor and support, and I would think that there might be a case where there is no support, so the 56114 would be no favor or no support.
I'm not sure I understand where you're going. This is just a list of terms that are currently in use in the documentation. These are not proposed. These are just...
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Eberhard.
Can we go back to 7 where it says active manager? Active AC. Active manager.
Yeah, I think we can go at it going forward into the section on manager, or do you want to go back to...
I want to go back forward. Or forward backwards, I don't mind.
Okay. In that case, can we move forward?
Okay.
7131, active AC. The AC can be contacted by IANA, and that's the issue, and is responsible for acting. We have had the discussion about what can be contacted by IANA means.
We have had
the discussion on the DID group what can be contacted by IANA means. Robert Elks stopped responding in the AU in the AU delegation, and in the .IQ delegation, the contact was in jail at the time. Does that constitute not can... We need to define this, what it means, can be contacted.
Yes, and I think what I mentioned when we were talking about those things earlier is that that's exactly some of the stuff we should be dealing with under active AC, manager AC and TC. So I'm not looking to get into that here. That's a very good question and certainly something we will explore in great detail, but that's specifically targeted for the third topic. And just to be clear, from the work plan, we've got 7 topics. This is the first. The second is consent. The third is active, manager, AC, and TC. Does that answer your question, Eberhard?
The first topic is definitions.
Yes.
Then it's not acceptable.
Because okay.
We need to define what means can be contacted. It's not defined.
Well, to a certain extent, that's a that's a procedural issue, and I think that's better done in the third topic because it's not a question of a pure definition of what contact means, for me anyways. So if you will... what I'm proposing is that we've got an area where we can deal with this specifically and has been identified as such. Secondly, I think what we said when we started this is that this is the first version of the lexicon or the glossary, and that obviously as we go through our work in the other topics,
they will be contributing to updating this.
Eberhard.
I have no objection to the usual version 2.1.
Thank you. All right. Now, what time do we have? We're 4:24. Do you want a quick run-through of the definitions of the lexicon? Is that what we're going to do? Or do we want to spend some time on meeting schedule and various other things?
No, I think let's work away on the lexicon, and we do need to finish it no later than 5, as in 5 sharp being the end. So I think progress, I think in terms of our meeting schedule going forwards, I need to check calendars and time zones, and we may try and doodle poll the group to find which day of the week is the best day, and then we'll go into our rotational time things depending on daylight saving and all the other criteria. So within a week or 10 days I will be back on list with a proposed schedule going forwards.
We have to pick at least one the next meeting right now, otherwise we'll be pretty far off.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. Minister of Contact, the term is correct, should continue to be used. I think we all agreed on that. There were some slight changes to the definition. Nigel pointed some things out. I also noted that Bill Semich contributed to actually making this more readable, and Bill, as an editor, is usually pretty good, so those will be considered and make sure they fit the bill. So we should have, we want to keep using the word administrative contact, and we should have a definition. So I think we're in pretty good shape on that one. The associated terminology, I think, we'll be revisiting the notion of active, derelict, and inactive, and proposed is probably not bad. As I was rereading the words of 1591 a little earlier, it struck me that RC 1591 has a good word for proposed, and maybe we can use that word. Skipped my mind, I forgot to write it down, but Kim, maybe you can just scan it and find it. Then we go into agreement. When describing the manager AC or TC consent for a delegation or redelegation, IANA should use the term agree in its various forms. Consent is an acceptable synonym, so we've got two words there, but if you're talking specifically about a contact approving a request, it's agree or consent. Interested parties, not going there. We got work to do. We agreed basically to stick to the all-inclusive definition, and so that will be adjusted. Manager, I think we've agreed to manager. That's not a problem. We've got a definition. We've got some associated terms, active, de facto, derelict, inactive, manager, operator, and proposed manager. We're going to look at the term that is used in RFC 1591. Operator, we've got a tentative definition here, which is the party responsible for operating the CCTLD that is not the manager, but is delegated this responsibility by the manager. So basically, the term operator should never be used as a synonym for manager, just to clean up our formal language. Redelegation. We've got a little definition here in the process by which a party applies to ICANN-IANA to effect a change of manager in the IANA database. The spelling without the hyphen should be avoided. I think we've tried to standardize in the DRDWG. We made a call that it would be with the hyphen. I'm willing to have that discussion with Kim if he wants to take it on again. Personally, I don't care. Just pick one. But we did pick from our previous working group the one with the hyphen. I've proposed a set of definitions that go with that just to qualify them to see what their status is because redelegation requests live in many ways and many shapes. I mean, they get submitted, and there are several outcomes. So we've got a lot of associated terms. There's the redelegation request itself. There is who is putting in the request, which is the applicant. I think that's used overall. Yes, sir.
Simple question. What
name, please.
Sorry, Martin Boyle. Simple question. What is, in this particular case, the difference between an applicant and a proposed manager? Surely, at that particular stage, and if bearing in mind that proposed manager was for some people a difficult word, I wonder whether just going to applicant, that might help. I think Kim might have the answer for me.
We have no requirements that the person that applying is the person that would get. Particularly with delegations and redelegations, 95% of the time they're the same party. But when we're documenting route management practices in general, there's no obligation that the beneficiary of a change is the one that submits it to us. So we distinguish applicant from the proposed operator.
Did that answer your question, Mark? Nigel?
Well, I don't know if Martin thinks it answered the question or not, but I think that is quite confusing. Applicant is commonly understood to be the person applying to become.
Another case where definitely clarity should be sought, we also use the term requester.
I'm happy with requester. Everyone happy with requester? Kim?
A related point on this section. We actually have terminology for things such as when a request is approved, not approved, and so forth, which for the moment is mostly internal to us and internal to our ticketing system, but with the deployment of automation will actually become much more visible in a month's time.
Would you care to redo this part, please?
That was my question.
Please?
Would you like me to provide that language?
Please?
Sure.
Let's standardize. Let's not reinvent the wheel. I'm very happy to use what works. All right. Thank you very much. So we'll leave the rest of those redelegation status points, and we'll note that Kim will take a beating at them and give us something that reflects more closely what their internal systems have. Thank you very much for that, Kim. Registry is a generic term used to describe both CCTLD and GTLDs. Given this term is generic in use, it should be avoided to refer to CCTLD registries specifically. Right? No? Okay. Registry status, pretty much what we talked about previously. Active, closed, closed is new, sorry, and inactive. Closed is something I'm proposing as a weird status, and again, I think Kim may have some definitions which are better to deal with those things. That's a question.
Actually, on this, I don't think we've really classified them this way, so I don't have any suggestion.
Would you take the time to go over them in detail?
Oh, of course. That applies to everything, really.
Okay, thanks. So basically, we've got active, closed, inactive, and derelict. So they match quite closely, but I felt we needed one more class of closed to meet some of the situations. The issue of how one classifies a registry as derelict inactive will be dealt with in the section on active manager AC and TC. Technical contact, basically, I've taken the notes, and we've got exactly the same thing that we had for AC. Kim?
My meta suggestion is, would it make sense to fold both the AC and TC segments into a contact section to avoid duplicating whole swaths of this document twice?
Yes, agreed. Yes.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
It appears by popular choice we will do so. Nigel.
I spotted this earlier on and didn't quite register. It's only by repetition that it's begun to grate. 7.9.1 and similar terms throughout all the contact section, although that's in light of the last section becomes an OTO's comment. The word is not correct. The word correct is not correct. And it's been just bugging me. And I think perhaps the word appropriate is a more appropriate word.
That doesn't seem inappropriate, thank you.
I tell you, Kim.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
and that concludes the document. I'm not going to go over the annex. And that concludes the document. The remaining pages are the annex, which lists how we went through in detail each report to get the information out. So over to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Bernie. Thinking about a scheduling our next meeting while we're in the room, I do need to look at the entire schedule in a bit more detail going forwards for future meetings. But if we could note that the next meeting, we'll aim for the 7th of July, which is our regular Thursday, at 1400 UTC, which I think will make it 2 a.m. for New Zealand, midnight for Australia, 7 a.m. in LA, and 3 p.m. in UK. I'll just see if I can do a better job, but I think I'll talk to Gabby Gavestina about doodle polling and finding the most appropriate day of the week going forwards for our meetings, and we'll build a schedule as part of our business on that call. And so if you can, please all note in your diaries now. I think 7th of July gives us time to do the redraft and also to get home and get settled and catch up on work email. So is there any other business? Is there anything anyone else wants to discuss? Okay, our main purpose of business on the 7th of July at 1400 call will be, again, the second reading of the terminology paper. So please note 2 hours in your diaries.
Yep.
I think all of our conference calls should be scheduled as 2 hours unless it's just a tick-off of a document. That way, if you finish in less than 2 hours, you can have some bonus time. Thank you. Thank you all for your participation. It's been a most useful day. And we'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks. Thank you.